the firing, it's weird. So were you surprised? That's the question people ask.
Yeah.
In some ways, like, no, because I don't know that he was getting a contract after this year was done. I thought he'd start the season. So not blindsided, but whenever something of that magnitude happens, you're always kind of startled, I guess, is the way to put it.
Yeah, but I guess how I explained it, was I shocked? No. Was I surprised? Yeah. I mean, I was not expecting it yesterday. You know, kudos to Ryan. I thought, you know, it seemed like he was ahead of the curve on Monday when he was asking Elliot, you know, about Bruce Boudreau and whether or not he'd force anybody to make a move. And I don't believe that was the case here. I think it's more coincidental, but at least he was on the scent a little bit. And I think Eric Francis was another guy that asked a pointed question at the end of the year, the general manager, about, you know, the coach, and there was no clear answer. And Eric's brought it up on a couple of occasions. Have we heard, you know, And you guys have been around long enough. We all know how it works around here. This is, you know, outside of Brent, who basically left pretty close to right at the end of the year. I mean, you go all the way back to when, you know, Jim Playfair was hired. He was hired after the draft in Vancouver. You know, when Jim Playfair was let go, that was in June when Mike Keenan came in. Keenan was let go, I think, later in May. This is, you know, a team, at least in its recent history, that has usually taken some time, some sober second thought, gone out and thought about things. So shocked, no. Surprised, yes, by the timing. And I got to be honest with you, if you had any inkling in the back of your head that, well, we'll give them 10 games or 20 games or we better have something ready, then do this. Move on now. If it's not working, move on now. It's better for everybody.
Right decision was made as far as moving on. Is the next guy going to get more out of this team?
You'd like to think so. You'd like to think so. I mean, you'd like to believe the theory that was posed yesterday is he got him as far as he could take him. Now he's got to get, you know, somebody else has got to come in and bring him to the next level. But let's be perfectly honest, it's all predicated by getting a goaltender. And not a goaltender, you know, somebody with equipment and pads. I have that. But a goaltender that can be, you know, a bona fide number one in this league. I think you got to quit farting around with tandems. I'm sorry. I've been, you know, biting my tongue. I've been patient. Okay, tandems. Look at how's that tandem in Dallas working?
Awful.
You got to go out and get a bona fide number one and a guy who can back up. That's what they've got to get. And if they get that and they get a guy, you know, I don't know. Sorry, I apologize because I'm not sure about this. But around the table there, is everybody convinced it's Boudreau coming in?
No. I am not.
No.
Are okay. You?
No.
Yeah, no, that's 4-for-4 on the no.
Okay. But I do think it's likely going to follow that age-old pattern of hard-ass coach's player. Or player's coach, I should say. And, you know, I can't help but think whoever comes in here is going to be, in that regard, somewhat different than, you know, what Bob Hartley was.
Isn't anyone they hire going to be not as much of a hard as Bob Hartley? Like, is there a guy that asks more out of his players than Bob in terms of that relentless, never quit, you know, these guys have emotions, but I don't care, I want more?
Is Mark Crawford different than Bob Hartley?
I don't think he ever coaches in the league again, so I just... You know.
Well, but he's one of the names that is out there, Ryan, so, I mean, you know, could he be hired? Yeah, he could be hired. Do I think there are guys out there like Bob Hartley? Yes, I do. I think Bob Hartley works again, for what that's worth. But what I'm wondering about is, you know,
I think there's going to be a trend to bring in new blood around the NHL. I think we're finding it with the GMs and the new stat systems and the way they analyze games and break down players and put teams together. You're starting to see that. And I think that they're going to start implementing new coaches that follow somewhat of that philosophy. I don't know if this recycling of coaches that we've seen so often is going to continue. And not also, that Boudreau's not, he's going to get a job, but...
And I'll throw this out there, and it's just because I just read it. Ben Kuzma from the province in Vancouver has a speculatory piece this morning that there's a bit of buzz. Calgary could be considering Travis Green of the Utica Comets. That, of course, the farm team of the Vancouver Canucks. He will have coached Hunter Shinkarak.
Yep.
And he would be one of those guys that would be new blood. His quote yesterday about, this is Travis Green, I think as far as being an NHL head coach, I think I'm ready. Every job in the NHL is worth its weight in gold, and I would have 100% interest at options with every team in the league. You hope all your qualities are enticing for one of them.
So let me ask you this, and Ryan, I'm particularly curious about your perspective on this. What about Ryan Huska? Okay. You've got John Cooper in Tampa that spent some time in the American Hockey League, albeit one was successful and won a Calder Cup there. And then when he got the job, he airlifted those seven kids in and already had that built-in, you know, relationship with those guys. And you even talked to the veterans down there that year. The rookies were leading the drills because they knew what Cooper wanted. You look in Pittsburgh. Now, Mike Sullivan has NHL experience, I'll grant you that, and hadn't been in Wilkes-Barre-Scranton very long. But when he got the job, all of a sudden he's inserted a bunch of guys from that team, Matt Murray being the biggest one, and they have a trust and a faith there. Is there going to be an appetite to try and recreate that here with Ryan Huska? Is it too quick? Is it too soon?
I think the big difference would be that he had success at every single level he coached at before. Huska hasn't had that at the AHL level yet.
Right.
I don't see him as a sexy candidate like Cooper was at that time, because Cooper just went everywhere and won, and everyone that met the guy said, you know, this guy could sell you a ketchup popsicle. He was that, you know, convincing. I don't get that sense of Huska, though I do think he's a really good coach.
What about you guys?
He's not the guy who's not ready.
Okay. That seems to be the general consensus, but you know, you talked about trends, and I think that's, you can't look past that trend of maybe bringing in a guy you like. You know, the part of the Travis Green conversation is the fact that, you know, they're going to give Willie Desjardins more time in Vancouver, and that's fine. But you got, you know, a guy overripening, whatever you want to call him, the American Hockey League. In fairness, the guys overripening in the American Hockey League that have gone to different organizations recently, not all of them, but, you know, the Guy Boucher's burned real hot and bright for a little bit and then left. Todd Richards, you know, was the Mr. Everybody. Everybody wanted him. He went to Minnesota. That didn't work out right away. You know, that doesn't always work either. So I'm just kind of curious about, you know, whether or not you try and recreate some of the magic that other teams have had by bringing up your own guy.
Well, John Hines worked out all right, I thought, year one in Jersey. But
yeah.
All no, these guys fair. Start in the A. Like, it's, I don't know how many guys get to this league that haven't coached in the A. There'd be a few major guys. But I guess the thing is that all these legends that we talk about is the greatest ever. You know, we referenced Bruce's winning percentage is the highest amongst coaches that have coached more than 3 years in the NHL in the regular season. He was an AHL coach forever.
Forever.
Yep. He was a nobody when he got to the league.
Yep.
But you're right about the goaltending, Rob. I mean, you look at if Brad Treliving hires Ryan Huska as the head coach and pulls a deal for Carey Price, Huska will be one of the smartest coaches in the league.
Absolutely.
Right?
100%. 100%. And, you know, you look at who, and this is not my idea, but it's been expressed to me on a couple of occasions, who has a greater workload this summer right now? Not only does he volunteer to help co-general manage the team in the World Championships for Hockey Canada, now he's got to find a coach. He's got to sign his two most prominent young players. He's got to find a goaltender. He has a mitt full of restricted free agents. He has to find goaltending, probably not just one. Still needs to address the wing here. Just watched his draft stock fall one spot. You know, is waiting on another draft pick in Dallas to see, you know, if that's going to be a first or second round. You know, there's a lot to do for Brad Treliving in that hockey ops department this summer. They, you know, and quite honestly, the problem with most of it is they can't afford to miss on it. You know, there's not much in there outside maybe a couple of restricted free agents or maybe spending a little bit of money on a UFA that doesn't work out. You can't miss on a lot of these things this summer. Mm-hmm.
No, I heard your conversation. I think it was your conversation with Monahan yesterday. And
Pat and Eric talked to him.
Okay, yeah, the speculation that maybe it was the two young guys and the contracts that spelled the end. I don't see that connection necessarily, but I agree with you. It's just another... It's another huge element to this offseason that Treliving probably couldn't have expected because things have continued to come his way. I'm with you on some people question the timing. Brian Burke talked about it. You heard it on Primetime Sports. Yep. You got to go to your ownership. You have your meetings. You don't. Did Anaheim do it quickly? Yes, they did. But I think it was extremely clear that if he didn't get to the playoffs or lost early, he was going to be gone. So
right.
I don't have a problem with that. It allows Bob to find work if he can get it. It allows the Flames to do a full search. And also, I think it would be a bit of an awkward phone call or Skype or FaceTime to the ownership saying, can I please have $2 million for Bob Hartley not to coach the team? That you got to have those conversations.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Does Bob Hartley coach again this year?
I don't think so.
you're down on him maybe ever coaching again.
Yeah, in the league, yeah. I mean, remember, how long was it between Atlanta and the Flames? How many years was that where he was not even a candidate?
But he had...
It took the godfather of one of his kids to hire him back.
Slow down, Ryan. He has two or three qualities that in the right circumstance are extremely attractive. One, he's bilingual, and there is a team in this country that's a mandate. You have to be bilingual to be the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens. And yes, I know they currently have a head coach, but he also clearly won a Jack Adams Trophy within the calendar year, which, you know, some people will view as, as attractive. The other part of it too is, you know, he has the possibility of being able to be in a meeting and going, look, I never had a goaltender. I never had this. I had a rookie GM. I'm not saying it's right, but I think there's some ammunition there that, you know, if Montreal, who he was, you know, in on that job when Therrien got it, and I know they're going to keep Therrien, at least they say they will, but Ottawa, that's not too far from his home. If they don't get Bruce Boudreau, I know you guys didn't mention Minnesota because Torchetti's there, but they're apparently kicking tires too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility he's back coaching this fall. I don't.
I'd take your money, but yeah.
I'm apt to kind of agree with Rob. I don't know if it'll be this fall, but I think for sure he coaches again. He just won a Jack Adams. I don't think there's a Ted Nolan scenario here where you win the Jack Adams and then you're blackballed for 15 years.
If you really dug on some of the issues that were behind the scenes, the greatest concerns that the Flames had, and you got to that, would you hire this guy?
But you have to be in a pretty bad spot.
I mean,
what are those things, Ryan?
I think there's a lot of people that really don't like him as a human beyond just the coach.
Yeah, but I mean, I go to work every day, and I, you know, there's not a lot of people that love me as a human being either. I think those things are, you can get past those things. One of the things you can't deny is that he came in and inherited this team at a very pivotal point and guided it to this point. His 4 years was not a disaster, guys. It wasn't. Now, it's time to move on. I have no problem with that. But he had to say goodbye to some legends here. And he had to change the culture and give that room a direction, and he did that. Now, it may have slipped this year, but he certainly did that. And if I'm his agent, if I'm Bob Hartley, if I'm a GM, and I'm looking for a guy to come in and do that, yeah, he's got a lot of things that are attractive. And I think we got to get past this, well, we want to hire our next coach, and he's going to be our coach forever crap. I think that ship has sailed. I don't think anybody looks at it that way. I think if you can get two contracts out of an NHL coach now, you're probably pretty happy.
It always comes back to me to a certain extent. How important is the coach? Because you can be fundamentally sound and have a great game plan. How good's your team? Right? I mean, how good's your goalie? How good's your team? Quenneville, very smart coach, great coach. Yeah. And he does have a very good team. I don't know that Joel Quenneville or, I mean, who else do we want to talk about? Some of the best active goalies, Mike Babcock, would they have done a night and day different story
just
here?
Just like you said, Dan Bylsma walks into Pittsburgh, who's on the cusp of being a Stanley Cup winner.
Yep.
It's not a slight against him. It's a circumstance that he was put into, and it's great for him. Is he a great coach? I don't know.
I don't know.
You
either.
Coach what you got, right?
Yep. Yeah, you do. You do. And
was Lindy Ruff a great coach from 96 to whatever? Well, the late 90s? It was very easy to coach in Buffalo.
Yeah.
There was a guy that made a lot of things go away, right?
You had to fill one spot on the roster card and you were set.
Yep.
Gerard Gallant was a disaster as a coach in Columbus, shows up now in Florida with some very good young players, a Calder Trophy winner and a good goaltender and some young...
Yep.
Oh, well, did he get that much smarter? Or is
to me, the classic example is, and the guy I just tried to fire is Therrien, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we learned a lot about the Montreal Canadiens this year. And the guy that deserves to be the MVP of the NHL this year is Carey Price, because we learned exactly how important he was, because they were an unmitigated disaster without him, right?
Tire fire. Worst team in the league since he got injured, right?
Right. They were.
Tied for first at the time of his injury.
Well, Rhett's putting his hat in.
Rob,
can we count on you for support? This is like the politics.
Well, I voted for Rhett for NHL 17.
Good.
Can I use him as a board with that?
That's right.
of course, I mean, I apologize. Something happened with the email, so I never got the address for the draft lottery party last week, but that was just a typo and a, you know, clerical error. So, of course you can count on my support.
It's good to know.
You know, now, is it just you, Rhett, or are you taking these guys too? I mean, are you a staff?
You got to build assistants, right?
Well, once they give me my budget, I'll start to compile my team. I mean, these are some high-priced
Marty? You keeping Marty?
You're giving Jelen all the boot. Wow.
No, because if he'd have scored that goal, we would have didn't.
What have you done for me lately?
That's right.
Thank you, Rob. We look forward to...
Can I just one thing before I go?
Of course.
Guys have been talking about it all morning. Just thoughts and prayers and everybody up in Fort McMurray. Really tough to watch my old neighborhood burned over this morning. I know the Red Cross, redcross.ca, people can donate, but I also encourage people to, in the coming days, we're going to learn about more things that we can do and more resources that are needed. And this is going to be a huge undertaking to rebuild up there. But, I know that we are when things get serious and people need a break, this is where they come. So we want to respect that, but certainly want to thank you guys for everything you're doing this morning and certainly raising that cause and the awareness for that, because it's truly a disaster of epic proportions that, you know, we saw in Slave Lake a number of years ago and how devastating it was there, and it's looking like this might even be worse. So I'm certainly thinking about everybody up there today.
Well said. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Rob Kerr.